Hello, everybody. Oh my goodness, I've missed you all so much. I am Nara Birch, and you are listening to I'm Not Drunk, I'm Autistic. As you can tell, I'm not uploading on a regular schedule right now, but that's okay because when I have content for you, I have content for you. And oh boy, do I have some content for you. As you can tell by the title of the episode, I recently spent some time in the mental ward. Yay! All right, trigger warning, I guess, for suicide, mental health issues, psych wards. I don't know, that used to trigger me, but with my new experience, it really hasn't. So let me give you a little rundown. Back in December, I had a really good birthday, like a really good birthday. I went to the art museum, I tripped on shrooms, I had a good spiritual experience, I crafted, I made spiritual objects. It was good. After that, things kind of went downhill. My mental state, as you could have told by the episodes, was not fantastic, and I was not in therapy. I had a psychiatrist for my meds, but that was about it. Everything else, I was kind of just healing on my own from all the trauma and then just the day-to-day tough life of being an autistic. I started to get really burnt out, and I've always gotten burnt out, and it always sucks. But this was getting to the point where I finished a period of burnout and immediately was burnt out again. And I started to get burnt out from the burnout, if that makes sense. And instead of just being burnt out, where it's kind of like my thought process is, ugh, how can I exist in this society? It's not made for me. It started to be like, you could always kill yourself. You don't have to be here. You should kill yourself. This is too much. You've gone through too much. You're never going to heal. There's too much to work through. You're damaged. Like, just that's what the burnout turned into. And when the burnout was every day, that meant it was constant suicidal thoughts every day. And I've always had passive suicidal thoughts. Like, always, there's always been like a little like, oh, you could always kill yourself. I've had about a year ago in like around April of last year, I almost killed myself because of a really bad breakup, because of the way I was being treated by my ex triggered a lot of abandonment issues and trauma, and I almost killed myself then. I did not go to the psych ward because of it. I probably talked about it. I'm pretty sure I recorded a whole knitting podcast episode like the day after I almost killed myself. So check out like April of that year if you want to hear more about that. But I made it through till about December, January technically. So yeah, around mid-January, I was not doing well. The burnout had been going pretty much constantly since December. I was preparing to do my first drag show, which I was so excited about. And like, I don't know, around mid-January, I was doing my makeup. I was blocking my eyebrows for the first time, which, by the way, tangent, I don't know if you all have ever seen my eyebrows. You should go check them out because they are delightfully thick and gorgeous, and I love them, but Jesus Christ, I cannot block them for the life of me yet. And I managed to cover them up a little bit and then tried drawing on eyebrows. It was a fiasco. Anyways, I put on my makeup. I looked relatively good. I had my outfit on. I did my performance, and I took it off. Sorry. And I just started sobbing. I just started sobbing because I knew I was okay when I was doing the drag, and it gave me something for a second to focus on. But the second I was done doing my vibrator number, I kind of lost it. And I realized, like, that's, I don't know. I at that point, I was like, that this shouldn't be the only thing that's holding me together. Also, if the thought of doing, if like doing drag in itself isn't enough to make me stop feeling suicidal, I didn't know what was going to be, because that was something that kept me going for a lot of really difficult times in my life. Not even doing it, just watching it and wanting to do it. And then I have the opportunity to do it, and that's not enough to make the suicidal thoughts go away and the burnout go away. Like, and I just kind of decided I needed to end it. And I went and got my prescription. I had a full prescription ready to be picked up from the pharmacy, and I just had enough meds. I also tried to choke myself. And my roommate called, like, I had a lot of money in my savings. So the plan was to go to a nice hotel. I wasn't going to just kill myself at a Red Roof Inn, you know. I was going to go to a classy place. Again, I'm so sorry if this is too much, but this is an important story in my life, and hopefully it can help other people who might be going through the same thing. And yeah, but I apologize if it's too much. But my roommate called as I was packing up my car to go, and he heard in my voice that something was wrong, and like I kind of at that point told him what the plan was. We called my best friend, and he ended up coming over and spending the night with me. And then in the morning, my roommate took me to the mental hospital. We checked to make sure there was a bed available. We didn't want me to just go to the hospital and have to wait, or have to go to the emergency room and have to deal with that process. Like, it was very much, I need to be in control of this experience, because I have had a lot of trauma around the mental ward. I've done a whole episode about that as well. I should have probably looked up to see what it was called. It's okay. I can do it right now as I'm recording. Don't mind the little clicklies. I had a lot of trauma about the mental ward. My parents sent me there twice when I was a kid in 6th and 8th grade, and it has long since been the pinnacle of the worst thing that could happen to me. Suicide, not the worst thing that could happen to me. The mental ward, being locked up against my will and forcibly medicated, perhaps. It just, everything, all of the trauma in my fucking life, it goes there, you know? It goes there. And oh boy, I'm trying to type and talk at the same time, and my processing system is like, ha, you dumb bitch, you have autism. What the fuck are you trying to do? Okay. But yeah, we went, I talked to them about it, and they decided to check me in. They very much were like, yeah, you're not doing okay. They checked me in. I drugged myself pretty well before going in. I was like, I took like 200 milligrams worth of edibles, an Ativan. I was just like, okay, we're just gonna live this out. And I got checked in. I got incredibly lucky. Okay, sorry. So I think the episode is called They're Hot, They're Nuts, They're Suicidal. And it also mentions masturbating in the title. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but apparently a lot of issues. We didn't even touch on my sexual issues. Even though they were like, hey, do you have any concerning behaviors? And I was like, yeah, I spent the night in a hotel with a dude doing ecstasy the other day. This was like when I was having a little bit of my mental breakdown, or like I mentioned that I sometimes meet strangers off of Tinder and hook up with them. And I don't know, that feels like a little bit of concerning sexual behavior. But anyways, where was I? Checking myself into the mental ward. I got there and I slept better that first night than I have ever slept in my life. I don't know if it was just because I'd been crying for so long, the combination of the meds that I was on. Like, I was out. The next day, I started my lovely withdrawal from marijuana, which wasn't terrible. It was definitely, it wasn't the funnest thing I've ever done. Like, obviously, I got very sweaty and like a little irritable. I kept thinking, damn, I just want to smoke. Like, a smoke would be nice. So that lasted for like pretty much the whole time. Like, I got less sweaty. That also could have just been the anxiety. And also just like, I'm a naturally glistening person, you know, that just happens when I'm stressed. So it could have been a combination of that. I lucked the fuck out with both the psychiatrist and the therapist that was assigned there. I found out from the other people there that if I had had a different combo, I would not have been respected. I made it very clear that I could not stay too long here. I told them about my trauma of being trapped, both in abusive situations and mental wards themselves, and how the longer I stayed there, like, I was there to get help. I was there to get help. I'm not here to play the system. But I also know what's best for me in a lot of cases. And staying longer than 5 days, I told them, might be an issue, which I managed. They were like, okay. And they got me out in 5 days, which normally for suicides, they usually do a week. So I got lucky with that. And then the other thing I got lucky with was I did not want to be medicated. I have a lot of trauma with medication as well. There's also episodes about that. Just look through my entire catalog. I have like everything you guys could need. Just like, just look. Just look. You'll find something you'll like. And so they respected that as well. I think, like, I bet a lot of people come in there and try to get like the maximum amount of medication. And I was just kind of like, hey, I need to do this on my own. But I made sure to go to all the therapy sessions they had. I participated in everything. We had 2 therapy sessions in the morning, like 5 smoke breaks, which I didn't get to smoke, obviously. I almost took up cigarettes. You best believe I almost smoked a cigarette there. I didn't, though. But, like, I went out to talk to the trees and to, like, feel the grass under my feet and, you know, just be outside. Oh, be outside. It was in January, so it was really cold, but I didn't care. I was like, it's not snowing. Let me be barefoot. I had a little bit of trouble at first with the autism accommodations, but the music therapist there was excellent. Like, honestly, if y'all are in the Cleveland area or close to it and you're looking for a good psych ward or an outpatient, go to Highland Springs. Like, shout out to the Sunrise unit, which is what I was on. They have some amazing therapists that I met there that just seemed to really love their job, really care about the people. There were a couple people that made me feel like shit. But like for the autism accommodation. So I was the first couple of days I didn't go to dinner, because it was at 4 p.m. Like, fuck you. I am not doing that. I'm not eating dinner at 4 p.m. That's just not happening to me. And second of all, everybody else went down. So there was nobody on the ward. So I could have a second to unmask a little bit. Although I didn't unmask terribly much because, like, God forbid they're like, oh, you need to stay because of your weird behavior. I didn't do that. But, like, I was able to do some yoga. I was able to put a knitting podcast up on the TV, you know, like something I wouldn't be able to feel comfortable doing. Although by the end, I was just flat out doing yoga everywhere. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do yoga. But, like, the knitting podcast, I'm not going to make a bunch of people who are locked up in the mental ward with me watch a knitting podcast on the public TV. That's not fair to them, you know. And I got in trouble for it. And I went to the music therapist and I was kind of like, hey, this is what's keeping me together. Please let me keep doing this. I still eat dinner. They have a snack around like, they had a snack around like 7 or 8. And they always had like carrots and celery in the fridge and like string cheese. And I was like, I am eating food. Trust me. Like, I'm eating probably better than I am at home. Like, just don't, just let me stay. And they talked to the nurses and I was able to do that. So that was pretty sick. So they really did respect that. They did not respect my dead name. Holy shit, my given name. The amount of times I was called my dead name in there was terrifying. Everybody, I had to be like, hey, please call me Nara. Don't call me that. Call me Nara. Like, you're like, it was so intense. I haven't been in a situation where I've been called my dead name that much since, like, going to holiday parties with my ex who refused to make his parents call me by my new name. He was always like, they're not going to do that. I was like, no, they should be doing that. But anyways, it was like, at one point somebody walked into my room at 6:30 in the morning to wake me up to do vitals and just was like screaming, Molly, Molly. And I like had a PTSD flashback. I was like, is it time for school? What the fuck is going on? Because I used to have a lot of, like in eighth grade, I used to have a woman come in, like a nurse come in and wake me up in the morning because I was so belligerent in the mornings and refusing to go to school that my parents needed a break from me. And so, like, she would come in to wake me up. And it felt like that. I felt like I was back in eighth grade. And then I was like, hey, in my sleep, I woke up. I was like, please call me Nara. And she was like, what? And I was like, Nara, my name is Nara. Is it not on the sheets? She's like, oh, it's on the sheets. I was like, I get that there's an ethical reason, but also at that point, it's part of my therapy. Like, you need to know that Nara is me. Like, there was a trans person there. They dead named her one time. And she technically threatened to sue, which I wasn't going to do. And they never dead named her again. But they made sure. And her name wasn't legally changed. So they made sure to call her by her name. Just because I'm not trans doesn't mean I also don't deserve to have the name that I have chosen, especially when it's trauma related, you know? But then she took my blood pressure and my pulse, and she's like, wow, your pulse is like 100. You just woke up. That's not normal. And I was like, yeah, you dead named me. And I thought I was back in eighth grade. Like, what do you want my pulse to be? Like, no. Another time I got my pulse up mental ward was the masturbating. I decided on like the third day, like I needed to. I hadn't masturbated in like 2 days, which I masturbate like 3 times a day. How do you ask I did this? I would go into my room, read a book, you know, just wait. And then the nurse would come do the check-in. And the second she left, I was like, all right, we got 10 minutes, bro. Let's go. Although, not going to lie, part of the thrill is like, oh my God, the nurse could check in on me at any second. Like, what if she walks in when I'm orgasming? Like, my little voyeuristic person came out. And then I had a pretty hot roommate this, like, second time around. I had two different roommates. And that didn't help either because I was like, what if she walks in and we just have like a little lesbian get together in the mental ward? That would be so hot. So I masturbated to the thought of that. You know, normal things. Yeah, I made a lot of cool friends there. I wouldn't say a relationship with one of them. It was a non-platonic friendship probably is the best way. Not in the actual mental ward. Like, we both regretted that too. We were like, damn, we could have, if we had known that we were into each other, we could have tried something, even though we might have gotten in trouble, but it would have been worth it. That didn't end well. I also did a lot of outpatient therapy, like 8 weeks of it when I left. So he was also there, and there was a failed threesome between me, him, and another chick, who I didn't like her energy to begin with, and I shouldn't have agreed to it because of that. He didn't think to check to see if she was bisexual or queer in any way. He knew I was. I think he just assumed she was, which, you know what? like he was a little young. I didn't realize how young he was either. Don't judge me. He was in his 20s at least, you know? So it's fine. But like, he never arranged this. He didn't really get informed consent yet, I think, and he didn't really ask her. And to be fair, like, there was such a chance that he could have picked a bisexual girl, because the amount of bisexual women in the fucking outpatient was crazy. Most of us were. And he happened to get the one that wasn't. But anyway, they came to my house. Boundaries were crossed. Manipulation tactics were used by both of them. And I was uncomfortable and just everything ended. But you know what? I got my mileage at least out of the mental ward. I was like, yeah, let's have some stories. Now I'm doing a lot better. I left the mental ward. My best friend came and picked me up, and I smoked the fattest blunt I have ever smoked in my life. I got so high. It was amazing. I ate the best Chinese food I'd ever eaten in my life. That sesame chicken was crazy. You guys have no clue. I've been back since. Hasn't been as good. It never will be as good again. Never. Because that was the first food that I got after checking out of the mental ward, which I was super surprised, but I managed to eat pretty well there. That was one of my fears, because like when I went as a kid, I ate nothing but Cheez-Its and pasta when they offered it. Here, like, I managed to actually... They managed to have something pretty much at every meal that I consumed. Dinner, I didn't have to worry about. So I guess it was only breakfast and lunch that I really was like, hey, this is what we have to work with. To do anything else? I am doing a lot better now. I moved. During the outpatient, I literally got out of the hospital and had to move. And... I have a new job. I'm working again in the disability field, which is super cool. I am an activities assistant now at a disability organization here. I will be running like a social program kind of thing. Which if you're in the Cleveland area and you're an adult with a developmental disability of any ability, check out the Quantum Leap program. We have a lot of social programming for people who are maybe on, I don't like the word functioning. I hate the word functioning, who are maybe not at quite the cognitive level that I am, but we are also really trying to get people of all abilities in and to get programs going for them. So keep an eye out for those kinds of things if you're interested. There's a lot of cool stuff. We do like bowling, video games. Just check it out. And I'm also going to be doing some advocacy work for them and community education and outreach. And I am just so happy. There's a chance I'm going to be getting my first full-time job with them, and I will be able to get off government benefits, which is crazy. I'm a little nervous about my mental state working full time, but like, my mental state isn't always fantastic just sitting home watching YouTube and working part time and like, you know, socializing and knitting, you know, like I'm at least weaving clothes. Oh my God, I didn't have my knitting in the mental ward. You guys, that was worse than the weed. That was worse than the weed. I'm fucking telling you. I tried to make yarn out of paper and knit with the little insides of the pens that they gave us instead of actual pens. I was losing my shit. You would just like look over and you'd see my hands moving like I was trying to knit. Oh my God, I had a pair of socks that I was trying to finish right before I went in, and that's all I could think about. I was like, my socks, we're at the toe, we're so close, and you took this away from me. No. Yeah, so I've been knitting up a storm. I actually have a craft show coming up. If you're, again, in the Cleveland area, check out the Manic Pixie Dream Market. That's going to be taking place at Studio 17th? I don't remember what it's called. It's, I know Muse. Muse Pub is there. It's the big gay complex. And then I also have another drag show coming up. I am since become a drag queen, which, you know what? I'm gonna drag performer. I'm really experimenting, I think, with some gender fuckery. So I'm gonna go with drag artist. But check out Janice Nitwit on Instagram for show dates and to see pictures from my first two shows. I've done two shows. Oh my god, I've done drag. I literally was like texting the person as I was going into the mental ward, saying, hey, you know, the show that I booked, I'm going to be in the psych ward. I can't make it. I'm so sorry. And they understood completely. Like, and I got out and they extended the invitation to me. And I was like, to come back for the next month. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. So yeah, I've had two shows since. Yeah, check out, we're just going to end it here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check out all my social medias. Hearth Fairy Fibers for your knitwear needs. Janice Nitwit with that's K-N-I-T-W-I-T for your drag artist needs. And then my regular Instagram is Fuck You Up Fairy with underscores after each of the words, except for fairy, because we're done with the sentence there. Just look up Nara Birch. You'll find everything. Birch like the tree. I have a Buy Me a Coffee link if you would like to support me financially, support my yarn addiction. Got some beautiful yarns. Hopefully I'm going to be getting a knitting podcast up soon. I think I'm going to be focusing more on that kind of content because it's not like I've run out of autism content, but I have talked a lot about autism and various things over like 2 or 3 years at this point. So keep it with knitting and maybe life updates. And anytime I have like a special episode like this, sorry it was so long. I was excited to get to talk to you guys. And yeah, if you just have any questions, if you want to hire me for trainings or to write articles for you, reach out to theautisticpinup@gmail.com. I adore you for listening. I hope y'all are doing well. I hope you're all enjoying this springtime and I will talk to you sometime in the future. Okay, bye.